In the Nights When I Am Lone by Vainglorious. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. The runner moves in with Ronan and Milena when he's released from the hospital. There's really nowhere else for him to go. The hospital would have sent him to a state-run homeless shelter. Milena says John would be eaten alive there, and she's probably right. Ronan isn't jealous that Milena calls the man John, since she also uses her most seductive arsenal to convince Ronan to let him move in with them. And it's pretty hard to be jealous of a guy that still looks like a walking skeleton, and yet simultaneously has a personality just like the most stubborn, most aggressive pigs on Ronan's father's farm. Even after half a month in the hospital, Ronan doesn't think Shepard knows he isn't running anymore. The guy still skitters around, his movements jerky and frantic. He eats ravenously, with his hands. It does make meals kind of gross. Ronan knows for a fact Milena's cooking isn't gourmet, and he doesn't mind no longer having to eat leftovers. He tries very hard not to startle the poor guy, not to come up upon him without warning. Shepard still sees Wraith everywhere he looks. That much is obvious. Living with Shepard is interesting. He isn't very talkative. Ronan can't tell if that's innate or just because it's been so long since he's had anyone around to speak to. Ronan knows Milena tries to have conversations with him about his obliterated home and his life as a runner. He's not sure how that goes, but figures she's kinder and gentler than he is, that kind of thing. Shepard doesn't talk to Ronan much, though. When he does, it's usually arguing. Maybe he feels he can't fight with Milena since she's a woman or something. It's all stupid stuff, though. Ronan gets that the guy is traumatized, but Shepard doesn't seem to have noticed that about himself. He's mad that he's not allowed out of the house by himself. If they let Shepard go alone, Milena's not sure he'd come back. Ronan thinks he'd manage to get hit by a train or arrested in less than an hour. They make him a bedroom in their apartment, in the room that used to hold a lot of Ronan's stuff that Milena didn't want in her way. He has to put his things in the basement storage, because most of it is weapons or sports equipment that's also sort of weapons. It's not a big room. They have a little home. Once Ronan's stuff is all cleaned out, it looks pretty barren. Milena worries it resembles a cell. Ronan thinks it more likely it looks like what Milena was intending it to be when she painted it light purple all those years ago, a nursery. Shepard doesn't say anything about it either way. He sort of glances around, nods once. "Thanks," he says, so softly Ronan could barely hear him. Having Shepard around is almost like having a kid, Ronan thinks. What little he knows about infants, they sleep about as much as Shepard does, and also wake up screaming in the middle of the night. But Shepard can walk and talk, clothe and feed himself. It's sort of like having an obnoxious teenager in the house. Ronan vaguely remembers going through a phase where he may have treated his parents like he was their hostage. It's embarrassing, but it actually really helps him not lose his temper with Shepard. They're not so much holding him prisoner. If Shepard really wanted to leave, Ronan would let him. Report him to the security forces and make sure they took him in before he got in trouble, yeah. But Ronan would let him go. They don't lock Shepard in the house or anything, but he never ventures beyond the front porch by himself. That doesn't stop Shepard, however, from arguing with Ronan about it. Shepard doesn't yell. It's mostly very quiet, very intense whining. And it's completely insane because the door is right there. And Ronan wouldn't even get up off the couch if Shepard ran outside. Shepard goes to the food market with Milena every week. She says it's a good way to introduce him to the city and teach him how Satita works. Ronan agrees, sort of. After the first week, they figure out that Shepard can go if he wears clothing without pockets. Otherwise, he compulsively steals anything he can carry, and it's really embarrassing. It's a good thing the market proprietors are suckers for Milena's smile. Well, good and annoying, because Ronan gets tired of people hitting on his wife. Some of the squad teases Ronan about the runner, about the guy he allows to spend so much time with his wife. In return, Ronan reminds them how much faster, stronger, and meaner he is in a fight, and eventually the taunts stop. As part of Shepard's rehabilitation, that's what Milena calls it, and Ronan can see the comparison to an injured patient, except it isn't Shepard's body that's busted, but his soul. Milena decides the runner should work out with Ronan. For his part, Ronan thinks it's a dumb idea, because he doesn't want to do it. He spends enough time with the guy as is. Shepard's too fragile and weak and will totally ruin Ronan's workouts. But Milena insists, and Ronan sucks at telling her no. It's almost appealing to have another guy around for team sports like Rastignac and Ysaliti, except Shepard probably isn't in good enough shape for those yet. Despite stuffing his face with Milena's food, the runner is still lithe and skinny. Ronan needs to put some muscle on him. Also, Shepard's still very wary around other Satidans and might wig out if they attacked him, which rules out Rastignac and Ysaliti, as well as pretty much every other game Ronan can think of. One thing Ronan knows Shepard can do, of course, is run. Really fast, too. The first time Ronan suggests it, Shepard just blinks at him like maybe it's a sick joke, which it kind of is, but they go together to a park on the edge of the city, and Shepard takes off. For a moment, Ronan thinks Shepard has genuinely decided to flee, and that thought puts a spur in his step as he races after the runner. And Ronan likes to think that he's in good shape, especially since he has to pass the Satidan military performance requirements every month, but he can't catch Shepard. It pisses him off and also kind of scares him, since if Shepard is really making a break for it and Ronan can't stop him, Milena is going to be really mad. But Shepard eventually glances back over his shoulder where Ronan is panting and gasping and pondering lassoing the man's ankles to catch him. Shepard halts up just a bit, allowing Ronan to pull even. "Hey," Ronan says, breathing like a bellows through his mouth. "Hey," says Shepard, infuriatingly, not out of breath at all. It wasn't supposed to happen, but the workouts actually end up doing Ronan as much good as Shepard. Ronan refuses to run behind the man, and the extra exertion melts a little weight off Ronan's middle. Milena says he looks like he did when they first met, and then she tries to find something she can still pinch. Ronan's grabbing her hands because being tickled by the wife isn't very manly, and Shepard carefully leaves the room, smirking. Ronan does manage to get Shepard into the training room at the base, even though technically it's against the rules for civilians, especially alien civilians. But Kel approves it. Shepard seems to think the room is some kind of torture chamber, and he doesn't recognize any of the equipment. "You didn't have anything like this?" Ronan asks, trying to fit Shepard's body into one of the machines. It's among the first times Ronan's asked about Shepard's former life, about his people. He doesn't fully expect Shepard to answer, but he does. "Yeah," Shepard snaps. "I know what a gym is, but ours had treadmills and bench presses, not Iron Maidens. Ours weren't scary." Ronan doesn't follow any of that, but considers that it's probably a good thing Shepard answered the question and did it without freaking out. The training room does make Shepard stronger, but his frame stays slender, refusing to pack on the muscle. Ronan also thinks it makes him better in the head, like he's calmer and more centered now. They still do their runs in the park at night, sometimes stretching into the city blocks. One night when they got back, there's a local Rastignac team practicing on the field. Normally they head back after the run, since they both smell, and Ronan has to go into the base in the early morning. But Shepard's eyes are on the team playing, so Ronan doesn't protest and follows him to the bleachers. They watch in silence for a while, although Ronan isn't all that entertained. The team sucks, but it's pretty interesting watching Shepard react to the game. "What's the objective?" Shepard asks after a few minutes. "What's the objective of the game?" "Guys in blue want to get the ball into the red square at the end," Ronan answers. "Guys in red want it into the blue square on the other side." "Okay," Shepard says. "And you're allowed to hit your opponent in the face with a pointy stick?" "Yeah." Shepard makes a noise that might have been a laugh. "Is anything a foul?" he asks then. "Hitting in the balls," Ronan says. "No fouls in the women's leagues, though." 3 months after Shepard arrived on Satida, he's a lot better. Milena has managed to get him to use utensils to eat most of the time now, although Shepard has almost converted Ronan into using his fingers too, because Milena's adorable when she's exasperated. Shepard still wakes up screaming in the middle of the night, but he's pretty normal in the daytime. Normal for his people, maybe. Still kind of strange by Satidan standards. But he can go out by himself without frantically dodging all the people in the crowded city streets, can even run errands and buy groceries. But Shepard's bored. Ronan and Milena aren't home all that much, especially since Milena increased her hours once Shepard no longer needed babysitting. They don't mention it to Shepard, but he probably knows. Ronan's squad is probably going to get deployed for war games soon, and all the preparation means he's pretty busy too. If Shepard were a kid, they'd have him in school or something. But he's not a child, he's a fully grown man, with nothing to do. "What'd you do in your military?" Ronan asked Shepard one night when they're in the training room on the base. Shepard's doing upper body exercises, flat on his back in a weight machine. Shepard says, but it's more about the weight he's trying to lift than Ronan's question. "I was a pilot," he answers, heaving out a breath and lowering the weight down. "This machine is barbaric." "Were you any good?" Ronan asks. Shepard turns his head and glares through the machine slats that outline his body. "Yeah," he says almost hotly. He pauses. "Why?" "I was thinking of asking Kel if there's something for you to do around here," Ronan says casually. He doesn't know how Shepard will respond. The military aircraft mostly consist of civilian evacuation transporters, not so much for fighting as fleeing cullings. If Shepard can even fly them. "I can shoot stuff, too," Shepard says after a moment. They're both silent, and then Shepard speaks. "You still have my gun." "Your gun sucks," Ronan says, "because it does." That's how they end up at the firing range, not with Shepard's gun, but with the stuff the Satidan military actually uses. Shepard's not totally comfortable with it all, evidently used to smaller weapons. "Everything's a machine gun," Shepard comments. But after months of training with Ronan, he can actually hold the weapons upright and steady. And he doesn't suck, once Ronan points out the firing mechanism. "Not bad," Ronan says after Shepard completely destroys the practice target. He's not sure that it'll be enough to convince Kel. Shepard's still scrawnier than a first-year cadet, and who knows if the military he came from had any kind of structure or hierarchy. "Tell him I really enjoy killing Wraith," Shepard says, maybe reading the uncertainty on Ronan's face. Kel approves Ronan's request, gives Shepard a field commission equivalent to a recent academy graduate, and assigns him to Ronan's squad. It's a little suspicious how easy it is, and a couple of the other specialists tell him Kel's interested in the ancestor technology they saw on Shepard's world. Ronan doesn't point out that what they're getting is the man, who has nothing material from his home. Getting Shepard ready to report for duty is actually the hardest part. It takes a while to find armor narrow enough for his frame, and the supply clerk makes endless fun of Shepard because some of the equipment is in women's sizes. "I'm not little," Shepard retorts, trying to lace up the chest plate. "Yeah, you are," Ronan tells him, watching but not helping. "I look like something out of Gladiator," Shepard says, looking at himself in the mirror. He knocks on the metal shoulder, or the Tin Man. Ronan has no idea what he's talking about. "Don't let them give you shit," he says, referring to the rest of the squad. They will, because Shepard is little, and he really does look strange and somehow more alien in Satidan armor. But he was also a runner, and he survived for 7 damn months, so if they give him too much shit, Ronan will help him distribute beatings. Shepard's eyes are big, the only sign of anxiety. His chin is set firmly. "Klingons of the Pegasus Galaxy," he says, nodding. "What's a Klingon?" For a second, Shepard pauses. "People from my galaxy," he says, after a moment. For the first time, his gaze is distant and cloudy. "Badass," he says, coming back and blinking at Ronan. "Honorable badasses." That sounds all right by Ronan. Shepard fits right in on the squad, mostly because he can handle himself. Ronan only catches him fighting a couple of times, and both times he's holding his own. He doesn't intervene, because Shepard doesn't need it. Rakai, however, has probably earned the ass-kicking Shepard deals him. Evidently, someone is still holding a grudge about being taken hostage. Kel sends Shepard off to get trained to fly troop transports. He stays in the training barracks, and for the first time in forever, Ronan and Milena are home alone. It's strange and quiet, even though Shepard isn't exactly a noisy presence. "He's coming back, right?" Milena checks, arms crossed. "Right?" Ronan shrugs. "Unless he crashes," he says, which makes Milena punch him hard in the arm. Shepard doesn't crash, so he comes home with a few choice words about how he thinks the Tedon aircraft suck. He also has a black eye, which means he probably shared this opinion with a mechanic or flight instructor. He passed the test, though, so he's certified as a pilot. Shortly, Kel officially designates him as the flight officer in Ronan's unit. Technically, it's a promotion, even if it's still a field commission. Ronan's unit takes Shepard out to the tavern and gets him completely wasted. While he's feeling no pain, Rakai tattoos the unit symbol on Shepard's neck. Ronan doesn't even think Shepard notices it, too busy drunkenly trying to free himself after being pinned to the sticky floor. They get home around daybreak, staggering inside together. Milena wakes up, or was waiting up for them, and immediately scolds them both for letting Rakai do that in a place as unsanitary as the tavern floor. She said the same thing to Ronan and slapped him when he got his. Milena plants Shepard in the bathroom, and Ronan follows because the guy is still having trouble staying upright without falling over. "She's going to clean it," he tells Shepard. "It's going to hurt." Shepard is staring into the bathroom mirror, neck craned to get a better look at the mark. He reaches up to touch it and winces. For a second, Shepard isn't sure Shepard's happy about the tattoo. "That okay?" he asks, even though it's too late. Shepard looks at him with eyes that are red and wet from more than inebriation, and nods.